I'd like to welcome Demise Foster. She is Executive Director of Conservation Voters New Mexico. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Hi, Mary Charlotte. Thanks for having me.
It's great to have you. Now, we have had you on and had Conservation Voters New Mexico on at different times, especially during the legislative session, because what your organization does, well, you tell us what it does.
Conservation Voters New Mexico works in the legislature every session to track and monitor any bills that would affect our land, air, and water in New Mexico.
And you have, I have to interrupt you and say, an excellent track record.
Oh, yes. This year we made our decade of defense, 10 years of successfully defeating 100% of bad environmental legislation.
And by bad environmental legislation, you mean things that would harm the health of New Mexicans and the health of our waterways, air, land, and so on.
Absolutely.
That's a big job, and at the same time, it's like we're always playing defense rather than getting... I mean, it's just as hard to get good bills passed.
It is, and that's another part of what we do, is we work to get conservation champions elected to office, and then we hold them accountable once they are in office. And in just our 9-10 year history, we've been able to turn over in the Senate almost double our conservation champions. So we are on the track to have a legislature that is conservation minded.
Now, you rate these legislators and potential legislators, and there's kind of a scorecard. And apparently it makes a difference. I mean, people are watching to see what scores they get.
Absolutely. We have a legislative agenda that we determine at every session, and we distribute that throughout the legislature so our legislators know what bills are good conservation bills and what bills are bad conservation bills, and it's actually a nice guide for them to see how we would like them to vote on those particular pieces of legislation. And we have a scorecard that we release every year that gives each legislator a score. And you can find that score on our cvnm.org website. You can see how your legislator rated and how they scored on conservation by going to that website. And I'll tell you, it does work. I just went through the legislative session, and I can't tell you how many times legislators would be texting me or running up to me asking me if a vote was going to be scored. They very much care about their score. Yes, many and most of them absolutely do track how we score them.
So they might vote on the basis of how they're going to be scored as opposed to how they feel about the validity and merit.
Well, I'm not sure about that, but they do inquire if we're going to score score them, and I love it when they ask me.
So there were some bills. I mean, it was a 30-day session, so it was more about the budget than about passing lots of new legislation, but there was one piece of legislation that you, Demise, pretty much single-handedly fought at the legislature.
Yeah, there was two companion bills, one in the House and one in the Senate, called an economic utility rate bill that was being pushed as a jobs bill for New Mexico. And what this bill, if you really got into it and read it, what it did was it was an incentive to bring corporations to New Mexico and give them a lower utility rate. To subsidize that utility rate, they would pass that out to all the ratepayers, and that includes small businesses in New Mexico and low-income families who would have to pick up the tab for these large companies to come in, while the actual utility companies would not have to work at any, they would not offer any subsidy. It would all go out to the ratepayers. The other thing it did was strip out all the PRC, the Public Regulation Commission's oversight. They are in place to ensure and protect ratepayers, to make sure that, you know, the rate that is offered to a company is fair. And they were stripped out of that process in these bills.
So
basically, the utility could just get together with a big out-of-state corporation and say, we're going to give you this low of a utility rate.
So basically, I would pay both my electric bill and some out-of-state company's electric bill.
Absolutely, and there would be no disclosure on your bill to let you know that that's what you were paying for. There was no transparency. We said, no, this cannot happen. They were on the fast track. It actually was marked as an emergency bill, so it could immediately go into effect. And it was moving very quickly through the House and Senate. And we went in and put our foot down and said, you cannot pass this out to businesses and New Mexicans. This is not right. And you need, there needs to be some oversight. And there was no cap on it either. So say a big company comes in from out of state, they're getting a discounted rate. They could actually move in next to, say, you know, a small business in Santa Fe who did the exact same kind of thing that they did. And that small business that was already here, the existing business, would have to pay their own bill and their competitor's bill.
Right.
This is how it would work. It was insane.
And so you went to the legislature and you were a kind of lone voice among many, many lobbyists.
Yeah. PNM in particular, who was really driving the bill, had a sea of lobbyists that would rotate through every day. It was unbelievable in the committee hearings to see how many people they would bring out in support of these bills. And in the environmental community and the progressive community, there were just a few of us and one PRC commissioner that stood up. I did get support from Marielle Nanasi from New Energy Economy on a few of our committee hearings, but other than that, it was really no one opposing this bill, and many, many legislators wanted it to pass. And so it was like, it was a David and Goliath story for sure.
And they did sort of overt intimidation techniques on
yeah.
you.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. They followed me. The lobbyist would follow me throughout the roundhouse all day and night if we had late hearings. They would corner me, continue to work on me, why I didn't support the bill. They would take me into rooms and intimidate me. They followed me into the bathroom. They followed me everywhere. They would, if I had a meeting with the legislator, I'd walk in their office and they'd run in and literally jump in front of me to talk to the legislator before I did. I have never experienced such crazy intimidation. And there was so many of them. It was insane.
And yet, you won. And if I may say so, the people of New Mexico won.
I say the people of New Mexico won. Yeah, that thing would have just rolled through. It looked good from the outside, but then when you read it, you realized that it was really a bill that would be, backroom deals, and it would be on the backs of New Mexicans. And it wasn't just me and conservation voters, but it was key conservation champions like Representative Brian Egolf and Senator Peter Wirth and Senator Cervantes and Senator Sanchez, who really stood up in committee to talk about the problems with the bill. And thank goodness we have those good guys in the legislature who will actually explain why a bill is bad and stand up for our values and stand up for New Mexicans. I was very pleased with our leaders in that regard.
We're talking to Demise Foster of Conservation Voters New Mexico. So what are you working on now?
So if you've been following the news, you might have heard about the radiation leaks at the waste isolation pilot plant, WIP.
I have to say, when I very first moved to New Mexico in the early 90s, there was a lot of fighting against WIP. It hadn't opened yet. It was still a kind of an issue that people were pro or con, and people were against it for precisely the reason of what happened now.
Exactly. Promises were made to New Mexicans back then that this was going to be a pilot project, that they were only going to house transuranic waste from the Department of Defense, that, they were going to try this out. They said it would never leak for 10,000 years.
Right, right.
And it leaked after 15 years. And this is something that a promise was made that they were only going to take one kind of waste, yet there has been continual efforts to open up WIP to even higher level radioactive waste from other states like Hanford in Washington and from New York State. They wanted to bring in more commercial waste that is, and can you imagine if they had allowed that to happen, how much worse these leaks could have been
right.
to have higher level.
And how the health of the people working there could be affected.
Yeah. I mean, 17 people were exposed to plutonium and americium. These are cancer-causing radioactive
right.
elements.
So what are you doing with regard to that?
So we have been continually talking about the problems at WIPP, and we wanted to let people know that there actually are public meetings coming up here in Santa Fe and in Albuquerque that you can go to and ask questions, because the problem is that they haven't answered any questions. They don't know what happened. There's no plan for what they're going to do next. And we don't even know how bad the exposure is to the people that were exposed to the radiation. And we need answers. So we really encourage people to go to these public meetings. There's one at the Santa Fe Public Library on Monday, March 31st, that people can attend and go and ask some questions.
What time is that at?
The meeting's from 6 to 7:30, Monday, March 31st, at the Santa Fe Public Library.
In addition to working at the legislature, you also are looking at upcoming elections, primaries, and then the elections that are happening in the fall.
Absolutely. We are in the process of sending out questionnaires to candidates in the primary so that we can go through our endorsement process. And we have a very thorough endorsement process that's based on answers to a questionnaire that we send out to candidates. And then we make our decisions based on those answers, and we make our endorsements. And we're getting ready to do that for the primary, and we'll do it again for the general election.
This is for not only legislature, but governor and other offices as well.
Yes. We work on statewide races. So there will be other races right now. The House is really the ones that we will be focused on, particular seats in the House of Representatives. We really want to protect our environmental champions that are currently incumbents in the House. And we'll be working on some other statewide races as well, though we haven't determined which ones yet.
You come from a ranching family.
I do. I grew up on a four-generation family ranch in the high desert of Idaho, much like the high desert of New Mexico.
Is it? Is it really similar?
It's quite similar. We have sagebrush, we don't have juniper, but, you know, high elevation, over 7,000 feet. Grew up beside my great-grandmother, my grandmother, and my mother.
Oh, my goodness.
And we all worked together in the fields and in the orchards and raising the animals and growing our own food. And our community was very, very close. Our rural community all came together when we needed to cut the hay or pick the fruit or help each other build a house. And so when I moved to New Mexico, it really felt like home because of that deep sense of community and connection to the land and understanding where your food comes from and where your water comes from and really appreciating that. And those values were instilled in me by my great-grandmother and my grandmother and my mother.
It's always kind of difficult for me to understand how ranching people who are conservative in politically don't always vote in favor of conservation of the very things that they value most, land and water.
It's true. It can be frustrating that, I think it comes from, you know, this kind of pioneer spirit of not wanting regulation or any kind of, people from the government deciding what is going to happen or not happen. And, you know, people become very attached to private property rights and these kinds of things. And it's really a shame because it doesn't reflect the values of the people who actually live on the land. And I had these conversations with many legislators over the session, too, who didn't always vote our way. And I spent one particular evening with a senator who also grew up on a farm. And we had this amazing connection because we understood what that lifestyle was like. And, talked about he was heartbroken when he would go back to his family home and there was no water in the river. I was trying to make those connections to him about that's why we need to not, say, divert the Gila River to another town, and we need to keep our last free-flowing river without trucking it and piping it to another town. And I think it was a very productive conversation to talk about these kinds of things and how these values are so important in protecting our water and our land here in New Mexico, and that we have to vote that way as well.
I know people who are long-standing ranchers in Wyoming, and now all the land around them is filled with gas fields, and it's a disaster.
It's heartbreaking. It's heartbreaking.
But to make that connection politically is so difficult.
It really is difficult. I agree with you. And that is, I think, the challenge. I think there's a stigma sometimes when you come to people and talk about environmental issues and conservation, and really we're talking about our water. We're talking about our land. And I think that we need to change the way we frame the conversation. I think that is one thing that could really help in connecting, because we're all connected. We, you know, New Mexicans and our communities here very much value our land. That's why I love it here so much. And just talking to people without using words that end up ultimately destroying the conversation. Climate change is one of those words.
Yeah.
That really sometimes can be difficult to talk about rather than just talking about water and our drought.
Exactly. Yeah, I went to the Kivira Coalition conference recently, and there were environmentalists and ranchers there who were coming together in a wonderful way. It was breathtakingly fascinating. We did some shows on it, and the ranchers would talk about drought, and the environmentalists would talk about climate change, and they were talking about a lot of the same phenomena. In terms of how they manifested on New Mexico land.
Absolutely, absolutely. And so at Conservation Voters, we have a vision for talking to people in rural New Mexico. And in fact, we have a rural organizer in place in Grants that has been really spending time going deep into communities where she lives, holding storytelling circles and town halls, and just having these conversations in terms of community, not talking about these bigger buzzwords. And it has been amazingly successful. They are talking about putting a uranium mine on Mount Taylor. There hasn't been a uranium mine there in 20 years. And this huge Canadian-Japanese corporation wants to come in and pump out 2,000 gallons per minute of water out of the aquifer to run a uranium mining operation. And she has been out on the ground in her community talking to people about the mine and gathering them together in meetings and circles. And when the Forest Service had opened up their draft environmental impact statement, they released it and had their public process, they received over 9,000 comments on the mine, and 98% were against the mine. So it shows that once the community knows these things are happening and they can get together and talk about it, that they really do engage, because, you know, they care about their community. The legacy of waste on Navajo country, everyone knows, there's over 500 mines that have never even been remediated, and yet they're going to put in a new mine. So our vision for rural New Mexico is to go throughout the state and bring local organizers out into communities to talk about the issues that are most important to them.
How can citizens who might be listening to the show today help your work?
Well, they can sign up for our email news. We send out emails about what's happening at WIP, what's happening with mining issues across the state, anything that puts our water and our air and our land at risk. We send out ways that you can get engaged through public meetings or through contacting your legislator or writing a letter to the editor. And so you can sign up for those. You can become a member and help support our work. You can go to your website and check the scores of your legislators, see how they're doing, and, you know, let them know. Let them know how you feel about the way they're voting. You're their constituents. You need to to tell them what's important to you. And you can find out who that is by going to our website.
And that website is cvnm.org. That stands for Conservation Voters New Mexico, of which Demise Foster is the executive director. Demise, thank you so much for being with us today on the Radio Cafe.
Thanks, Mary Charlotte.